Last 2 weeks, we were parked in the last passage of Joshua 5 and how Joshua encountered the man with the drawn sword and how Joshua approached him by asking, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And in essence, God in this theophany basically said, "Neither. I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over." And there was a marking up and alignment right before taking Jericho. So then we go directly into chapter 6, which is the taking of Jericho. And there's one point in this conquest that I want to look at and highlight this morning. So go with me to Joshua 6, verse 1. "Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in.'" Lord, we thank you for your word today. We ask you to help us to extract meaningful principles that are practical to win in life. Lord, we want to win in life, and you've given us this amazing book, Lord, that if we'll meditate on it, Father, night and day, Lord, I thank you that you'll grant us good success. Speak to our hearts, change our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the many things that could be said with this passage, I want to emphasize today that there are times to get loud. There are times to get loud. Now, Ecclesiastes tells us there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. It's not all the time. And that's why Ecclesiastes would break it down. There's a time for this, a time for that. And there would be polar opposites as Solomon was swinging back and forth. So there is a time for solitude. There is a time for quiet, but there is a time for volume. And there are times that we need to hear, and God certainly wants to hear our volume at certain times. He wants to see, in certain seasons, urgent, fiery, fighting passion coming off from us and emanating from within us. So there are times where volume is actually a weapon in our artillery. And by the way, there is no such thing as a quiet shout. Okay, by the very definition, it's demonstrative. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a little bit unsettling if you're not used to it, you see. It can be a war cry of breakthrough and deliverance if we care enough to break through and take up this spiritual weapon. Now, every situation does not call for volume. But there are situations that do. And when they do, we don't resort and rely on our natural bent. We all have a natural bent. Some people are loud by nature. Other people are very kind of meek and you can barely hear others. You know, everyone has God-given wiring and a bent through creation. So we understand that. But every situation doesn't require it. We don't rely on our natural bent when it does, but we rise up into power and authority based on the need in the occasion before us. If you were to see a child, especially if it was yours, but I would hope it'd be even your neighbor's, if you saw a little child somehow that got loose from the confines of their family, and you saw them wandering right up to the edge of a busy street, I don't think that we would, in a non-emotional, deadpan way, say, "Hey there, what you doing?" Would we? "Hey, don't step into the street. don't take another step. It wouldn't be appropriate to the need, would it? It would almost sound like, are you something demented in you? There is an emergency on the cusp. Do you not have the ability to sound warning in the moment? And so there are responses that are warranted. Now, it doesn't mean that this is 24/7. If you're always in that way, then, you know, you need to take some chill drugs and kind of, you know, find a spirit of peace. But there are times where it's warranted because of the occasion to lift our voice. And it is in the economy of God. We see all throughout Scripture. It's not a personality thing. It's actually a tool in our artillery that's effective in God. And so time can be of the essence. Sometimes safety is of the essence. Deliverance can be of the essence. And the need requires a certain action on our part. And it's the same way in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is spiritual. We're physical beings created by an invisible God. But there's this spiritual realm that's more real than what we see, because the invisible created the visible, you see. And so in the kingdom of God, these issues are pertinent to understand. Our strategies in life and in the kingdom, though, are not a one-size-fits-all. There's more than one gear in God's toolbox. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a cookie-cutter remedy. But there are, in the moment, intuitive responses led by God that are effective. Our fervency, or lack thereof, can make all the difference in the world. And fervency, by definition, it just speaks of kindled fire, something that's hot. You may ask, well, can't a whisper make a difference? Well, sure, in its proper context and setting. But again, it's not one size fits all. We have more than one gear. We have more than one tool. I mean, even the way you would watch Jesus relate with people, there was never just one gear. It was always contextualized to who they were, what was in their heart. He doesn't break a broken reed. He would be very gentle with the broken. The woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. But the Pharisees, he was very much in their grill. He was very much in their face. And he would bring the high places down and he would bring the low places up based on the context of what was before him. Ecclesiastes 8:6 says, "For there is a proper time and procedure for every matter." There's a proper time and there's a proper procedure for every matter. So you want to make sure that the procedure matches the situation, that it matches the matter. It's not just, again, one size fits all, you see. And in this setting in Joshua 6, it was not a falsely pious kumbaya moment in that moment. They were given very clear instructions. You say, well, why did they have to march around the city? Or why were the trumpets blown? Why did they have to shout? I don't know, but I know that God was in the shout. And that was God's remedy and procedure in that moment for that matter to cause the walls to come down. And again, he's not going to do everything the same way. There were times Jesus, if someone was blind, he would spit and put mud, spittle in their eyes. And it worked, but we don't make a doctrine out of that. There were other times he, you know, would touch them. Other times he would speak to them. Other times he would pray. But it was in the moment, by the witness of the Holy Spirit, in the occasion, you will know what tool to pull out of your bag to use in the moment. But Jericho was not a quiet moment. It was going to require some thunder. Matter of fact, to the contrary, God specifically required and commanded that they raise their voices. He commanded they raise their voices. Well, that's not natural for me. Well, then don't go in, sweetheart. There are times, like the child approaching the street, you do what needs to be done. You do what needs to be done. I don't like to get loud. I understand that. But there are times you do what needs to be done. You have the wherewithal, but like anything not constantly used, it might initially feel awkward. And I'm talking about really in a context of our personal lives, our prayer lives, our declarations. There's a time for meditation and there's a time for thunder, okay? And so we all have a bent, and it may initially feel awkward if not giving to it. Reading scripture initially is awkward. Prayer initially is awkward. Worship initially is awkward. Praying for another person to step out to extend yourself can be awkward until you start. Then it's not. And with these Israelites, though, it was life or death for them. It was possession or be possessed for them. So in verses 4 through 5, blowing trumpets of ram's horn is not very discreet, is it? A loud blast is not discreet. A loud shout is not discreet. And it's not just a shout. It's not just a loud shout. According to Joshua, it was a war cry. In verse 10, we know that because it says, but Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a what? A war cry. Do not raise what? Your hands? No, raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So he was here saying that it was indeed a war cry, but do it on my mark. Do it on my cue. Do it in the right time. Hello? So this is not something you stand up, you know, in your class, you know, your economics class, and just give a war cry. Not the right time. Okay? There's context for everything. All right? There's context. Or 3 a.m, you know, when your roommate's trying to sleep. I feel a war cry coming on. Well, it talks about those who have a loud voice in the morning. It's reckoned unto them as a curse in Proverbs. So again, context, 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 and a little bit of common sense. No, yea, even a lot of common sense, saith the Lord. Okay, so anyway, I mean, it's just like spiritual gifts. They're beautiful in their setting. You take them into a wrong setting, they're not so beautiful. So it's beautiful in its setting. You know, we want to keep fire in the fireplace, amen, lest we burn everything down. So there is a setting, there is a context, and you learn, you have instincts, and you see the record of Scripture that there is a place. It's not the only tool we have in our bag, but it is a tool. And there are times, and I just want to make sure that we're not missing some things we can have in God because we've not deployed this tool. Are we here? So again, he called it a war cry. Then do what? Shout. And a war cry is distinguished as putting fear in your enemy. A war cry is militant in nature. You know, there are several things in Scripture that we've talked about before, whether rapture, whether Trinity, other terms that are not biblical terms, but they're biblical concepts. Spiritual warfare is not a biblical term, but it is very much a biblical concept all throughout the Scripture. There are principles of warfare. You know, put on the full armor of God. I mean, that's not a limp wrist kind of toss daisies kind of charge there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers, dark forces and high places. There is a battle, whether we admit it or not. Some people just hide their head in the sand and say, well, I'm going to act as if there's not a battle. Well, there is a war waged. It would be better for you to be aware of it and then to be equipped in the weapons of your warfare than to live in denial and stick our head in the sand. So it's definitely a biblical concept. So, war cry, it speaks of aggression. It speaks of fearlessness. It speaks of action. There are times in our faith in the Holy Ghost to be aggressive. There are times to be tender. There are times to be aggressive. And many times the war cry is enough to rout enemies as their hearts melt like wax and they flee. Wouldn't you rather win a battle with a mere war cry versus going into hand-to-hand combat? I mean, if someone's coming at me with swords and lances and knives and clubs, I'd rather just, hey, and they just stop in their tracks or fall over or whatever. You know, I'd rather do that any day. And again, this is something that's there. We have access to the name of Jesus, hello, to stop it. Matter of fact, I want to encourage you, use your faith. People are, of course, concerned about the coronavirus, all of that. We don't want to be naive. We don't want to over-alarm, but we don't want to be gullible. But you will see how Aaron, Moses told Aaron to run into the camp where the plague was. And when he brought those censers, that censer in, which was a type of intercession, the plague was stopped. When David made his sacrifice on the threshing floor of Araunah, the plague was stopped. When we sacrifice, when we intercede, there is an authority in Jesus to make declarations. Jesus spoke to the storm. So just enter the company of the redeemed that take their position to decree to see certain outcomes in the earth. So, a war cry. A war cry. In Joshua 6, God's power was released in the shout. God's power was released in their shout, not in some false piety whisper, but in the shout. Verse 16b, Joshua commanded the people, what? Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. In verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the people, what? Shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city. A war cry. A war cry. Can you imagine the enemies of the people of God hearing this confident war cry, wondering, what are they doing? What do they know that I don't know? What's going on with them? I don't like that. You know, why they got that head of steam so confidently? It was a war cry. Question, will we rouse ourselves if the moment requires it? Will we rouse ourselves versus being given to our natural bent? Our natural bent is fine, but we're not limited, and nor are we to merely hide behind that, because the time and there are moments that require we get up out of ourselves and rise up into the remedy prescribed by the Spirit in the moment due to the occasion. Will we pace our floor and cry aloud to God? Will we skillfully take Scripture and lift our voices with His double-edged sword? Will we give Him our voice, our volume, as a weapon? There's a time for stillness. There's a time for silence. There's a time for the shout. In your spirit, you'll know which is required. But it goes beyond knowing or feeling it in the spirit. We also need to do it. The Bible is full of the shout. The Bible is full of a victorious response toward God and toward issues. Jesus is a lamb, yes, but He's also a lion. And His roar is terrifying. He's a lamb for a reason. He's a lion for a reason. You can't pit one against the other, because He's both and. He's the most tender of tender. But I tell you what, He's a man of war. He is a man of war. The Scripture declares it to be so. He doesn't take on the name lion just in an arbitrary way. There are characteristics to that and what that means. And when you're in a fix, you appreciate the lion of the tribe of Judah who's got your back. When you're intimidated, when you're vexed, when you're struck down, when you're anxiety ridden, you want that lion to show up in your affliction. That roar, it strikes fear in the heart of His enemies. I've told you before the story of one of our former Saipan pastors who was studying at one of our schools in the Philippines. And he was out at one of the malls late and was just out and about just after hours late, which wasn't wise to do, by himself. Some of these situations you hear about people in this, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, and they're by themselves, you know. But anyway, he was by himself, and a car pulled up, and they commanded that he get in the car. And he got in the car, and they took him out into the province, I guess took his wallet, whatever, and let him go. And I said, Alex, oh, my precious Alex, number one, I'm so glad you're here. Praise God, you're safe. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Number two, never, ever get in a car. Never, ever get in a car. Law enforcement will tell us to never, ever get in a car. They say, shout, scream, draw attention to your situation, and 9 times out of 10, your captor who doesn't want the attention will let go and they will flee. And it may be counterintuitive to the moment, but you're being captured. And so you don't want to be a nice captor. Law enforcement says, no, no, do the opposite. And I'm saying, we have a bent. Well, I don't want to start a problem. No, there's a problem. I don't want to create conflict. There's already conflict. Have y'all noticed there's already conflict in the earth? Somebody. All right, just checking. So there's conflict. The enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So we don't want to be nice Christians. And just, I mean, I'd see these pictures of the Holocaust where the Jewish people are lined up at the concentration camps in a line, and they're going into the incinerator, even though they may not have known it, but the ash is coming down. And I know that many did not know that those showers, what was in those, quote, showers. But there are times where I thought, man, had I been in that line and I had finally done the math, I think, I'm going to break out. I'm going to get me a soldier. I mean, they may take me out, but I'm going to get one or two. I'm going to get me one or two. So when you're being taken captive, it's time to do something different. Are we here? Again, law enforcement says shout and draw attention to the situation. 9 times out of 10, they let go and flee. They let go and flee. They let go and flee. Do you need some things in your life to let go and flee? Could it be God's power is begging to accompany your shout and your declaration of authority in that matter? In that matter. Again, do we care enough to rouse ourselves? Our God is a man of war. Will we rise up into fervency, His fervency? I'm saying that today because I really want to pull this principle today into our personal prayer lives. Okay? I want to take this principle of Joshua 6 at this fortified city that was tightly closed up. There was no way they should be able to penetrate. No way. It was tightly fortified. It was a stronghold indeed. But we want to take this and pull it in practically to our prayer experience and the way we live our lives. There are times of meditative silence. There are times of contemplation, absolutely. There are times of quietly pondering Scripture. But there are times to get loud. And there are times to get aggressive. It's not every time. We don't get, you know, I mean, we'd wear ourselves out if everything was a fight. Everything is a, there's a devil behind every bush. Rah, 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 rah. You know, you don't want to be going all out at 120 miles an hour all the time. There's ebb and flow. You know, there's a proper procedure for every matter. But likewise, we don't want to get our lunch eaten just because we're clueless and we're just kind of getting in the car. Quietly. Get in the car. Okay. Like, no. There's deliverance in the fight. There are times we need to get loud, even for our own sake, to hear our own selves rise up a little bit. You've heard it said, you don't take a knife to a gunfight. It's not going to go well unless you're a good, you know, unless you got a good throw. It's just not going to go well. Sometimes what we bring to the equation in life, in conflicts in life, aren't equal to the matter before us. Our prayers and declarations are to be appropriate to the situation. And you'll know, we'll know Be contemplative? Yes. Write them out on occasion? Yes. Even Madame Guyon said the highest form of prayer can be silence. I believe that. I mean, I'm praying all the time, constantly praying, praying under my breath, praying in my mind, praying, you know, so the majority is of a quiet nature. But there are times when it requires that we get loud, you see. But if there is never a stout, authoritative declaration, could it be that we're missing something? We are called to rise up. James 5:16 in the New King James declares it this way. The effective, let's read this out loud together. Go. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so it's qualified, is it not? There's some particular parameters that describe this kind of prayer. It's a righteous man, and there's effectual fervency in the prayer. James says that kind of prayer avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And again, in its season, in its context, when there's a need to rise up into the moment, especially in context of war or conflict, breakthrough, potential danger. Here it says it avails much. Here, prayer is qualifiable. It's not just any kind of prayer. If you were to go back one book in Hebrews 5:7, speaking of Jesus, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions, how? With what? Shh, Jesus, you know, because it's kind of grating. You know, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I can't see. Shh, I don't give a rip about your shh, I can't see. I'm fine. I'm going to get my miracle. You know, you can see. Have a little empathy, a little sympathy. And so Jesus, whom we worship, petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. There are times to get loud. There are times to get loud. God will show you, but if we are using only one gear or one tool, we need to open ourselves up and pick his weapon of choice, his war tool. Isaiah 28 sheds some light and wisdom on seasons and strategy. It says, just as God instructs the plowman in matters of agriculture, so he is willing to instruct a nation's leaders. That's interesting. Even the farmer, even as God instructs the plowman in matters of agriculture, so God is willing to instruct his people. It's not one size fits all. There's going to need to be a certain information, you see. So if allowed, the Lord will use just the right strategy at exactly the right time to accomplish his purpose. Intercessory warfare most times is going to require volume, some measure of volume, as it reflects the urgency, passion, earnestness, and fervency needed in the moment. Y'all remember Balak in Numbers 22? Balak, the king of Moab, and he paid Balaam the fees of divination to curse Israel as they were traveling by. The king was afraid. He had heard the story. So he pays this compromised prophet fees of divination, sorcery. He pays him to curse Israel. And so Israel comes parading by, and Balaam, this quote prophet, he's a non-prophet right here though, he tries to curse them, but instead of curses, blessings come out. And Balaam said in Numbers 23:20-24, he said, I have received a command, this was in the moment, to bless. He has blessed, speaking of God, and I can't change it. In other words, he tried to curse and just couldn't do it. The Spirit of God came on him regardless of his character. Remember when even madman King Saul prophesied when he got around the company of the prophets and they said, is King Saul too one of the prophets? No, he just kind of got in that that atmosphere and that spirit came on him. So here you've got the compromised prophet Balaam trying to curse, but instead blessings come out. It goes on to say, no misfortune is seen in Jacob, no misery observed in Israel. Listen, the Lord their God is with them. The what? The shout of the king is among them. I'm trying to curse them, but the shout of the king is among them. Something's different. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. There is no sorcery, even Balaam, no sorcery against Jacob, no divination against Israel. It will now be said of Jacob and of Israel, see what God has done. Listen, the people rise like a what? They rouse themselves like a lion. They what? All right, every situation doesn't require, come on, you're always just looking for a fight, No, you got a problem, you know. But there are times that we rouse ourselves like a lion. There are the times call for it. Balaam is thinking, how can I curse them? The shout of the king is among them. This is the people that rouse themselves like a lion. They rise up. The might and authority of God is upon them and behind them, backing them up. It's just plain hard to curse a people with a victorious, loud war cry. It's spitting into the wind. It doesn't work. It's the same as trying to curse God because, see, God was the one who had their back. A military officer once told a younger man in training with shaky confidence, he said, don't doubt yourself, son. Doubt kills. When tempted to doubt, when tempted to fret, when tempted to quit, raise your voice. Raise your voice to God and sound off a loud biblical war cry. When you feel surrounded, lift your voice. When captors are trying to throw you into the car spiritually, lift your voice. When you are being cursed, lift your voice. When you are harassed on every side, lift your voice. Listen, God wants to hear your voice. Your enemy is afraid to hear your voice, but beyond that, you need to hear your own voice. It's good for us to hear our own voice of authority, making scriptural declarations and speaking that into the air and speaking that into the spirit realm and releasing what those words give off in the way of power. We need to hear our own voice. It's one thing to have people pray for you. You need to hear yourself declaring your own deliverance and breakthrough. For your sake, shout your own deliverance and observe the hostile walls coming down. Feel how something breaks in the spirit when you do it. It's real. It's tangible. It brings the presence of God, the power of God. If your Balaam tried to harass you, could he back up and concede? Well, this is going to be hard, for the shout of the king is with them. The shout of the king. When you're aggressive, sometimes that's all it takes for the enemy to back off. Man, they've got a little fire in their eye. I'll go pick a fight with someone else. They're aggressive. The shout of the king is with them. I'll go find someone else who's not so, you know, mindful and aware of the weapons of their warfare. In another account, when Judah was being ganged up on by three bullies, we find the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites that had come out against Jehoshaphat. And of all things, their mouths became a weapon, a powerful weapon. They lifted their cry, they sang and praised God, and the Lord set ambushes against them, and the three nations were defeated, and Judah plundered them. Y'all remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? They also turned their mouths into an instrument of powerful deliverance, and the prison doors flew open, and they were free. Also resulting in salvation. Jehoshaphat and Judah, it took them, because of the mighty plunder, it took them three whole days to carry off the abundance of their warring faction neighbors, all because of using their mouths effectively. Let your shout come out. Let your shout come out. Let your shout come. It should be a bumper sticker for believers on occasion, not every time. It's not one size fits all, but there are times you need to let your shout come out. And then 2 Chronicles 20, 29 through 30 says, the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So may the high praises then, may the high praises of God be in our mouths and a double-edged sword in our hand. I want you to notice this vertical horizontal correlation in Psalm 149. It's real interesting. We're going to look at verse 2 and then verses 6 through 9. Look at this. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. May the praise of God be in their what? Mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. So somehow with our mouth being given to the Lord, it binds kings. Somehow, let's just go back to what we read. It binds kings with fetters, nobles with shackles of iron. There's a sentence that's written against them. God will execute judgment by our declarations and by our proclamations. They are not hollow things. Be meditative. Yes, be contemplative. Absolutely. You know, think deeply and allow your wells to go deep in quiet contemplation. Absolutely. But there are times that something needs to be decreed. Something needs to be said. Men, as priest of your home, lift your voice in your home. Hello, when you have times of driving alone in the car, it doesn't matter those that are looking at you at the stop sign. They just think you're singing a song. It doesn't matter. There are times you lift your voice and you make your declarations and you defend your family. And instead of walls coming down, sometimes in our declarations, walls will go up in protection and in covering as he carries us. But these are spiritual principles here that kings and enemies can be bound up. Concerning the obstinate nations, Isaiah 30, 32 interestingly says, every stroke the Lord lays on them with his punishing rod will be with a bazooka and a firefighter. No, will be with what? Will be with the music of tambourines and harps as he fights them in battle with the blows of his arms. How is a tambourine and a bling bling harp? Some strange weapons. But weapons indeed. But again, there's just something how the Lord will punish through these strange weapons. As we're vertical, he does things on the horizontal plane. So these are things we do that release God's power. There's a time to get loud. There's a time to shout. There's a time to boldly proclaim and declare it with authority. If you're not used to it, just start. I'm embarrassed when I hear myself. Get over it. You know what I'm saying? The need requires that we rise up. I'm pensive in nature. Well, you better pensive yourself into a new realm when you're getting your lunch eaten. The times require. When the child is near the road, hey! Hello? It's not about you. It's about them. And a lot of what we do is about them. Hello? We got to get our oxygen mask flowing so we can help somebody else, hello, and get the download and the open heaven over us. There's a time to get loud. When it bubbles up, give voice to it. Don't quench it. When Israel recaptured the ark from the hands of the Philistines, they raised such a shout that the ground shook. It also put fear into the Philistines. Again, may the shout of the king be among us. It took a shout for the walls of Jericho to fall. Don't be lured into a false piety. There are times to to rise up and get loud. Ecclesiastes says, oppression makes a wise man mad. In other words, when it's like enough already, and you go into a different gear. You go and you take out of your arsenal a different weapon and a different tool. This is going to, some things require fasting. Some things require going deep in the Word. There's, you know, sometimes it's an issue of consecration. They consecrated before they crossed over the Jordan, you see. And then again at Gilgal, there was a consecration. But taking the land in chapter 6, they didn't you know, circumcise them again. They had already been circumcised. This time there was a different procedure for the matter. It was the shout. It, based on the season, based on what was before them by the design of God and will of God in the moment. Hear me. Introduce volume into your personal prayer times. If it's not there, be meditative, be contemplative, yes, but introduce some volume. When we are bold in going up, he's bold in coming down, church. When we're bold in going up, he's bold in coming down. If you've never warred in the Spirit, you will want to learn. Your aggressive posture makes a statement both to heaven and hell. Develop your war cry. Again, we're talking about your personal prayer time, unless it's in a prayer meeting that goes in that direction. We're not talking about doing this at work. Hello, if you want to keep your job. We're just talking about being wise. The Living Bible says, don't throw away your common sense. I love that. So we're not talking about hijacking a setting that's inappropriate. But remember, there is a procedure for every matter. There is a procedure for every matter. So the issue is just discerning, what weapon does God want now? It's not cookie cutter. It's not, yes, a whisper can break a bone, but not every situation is going to require a whisper. A gentle answer will turn away wrath. So there's power in gentleness. There's power in tenderness. But there's also power in the shout. There's a dynamic of the lamb. There's a dynamic of the lion, you see. In your prayer time, in prayer meetings, when and where appropriate, when agreeing with a prayer partner, practice rising up and wrap yourself in a garment and a mantle of zeal. I want to end by reading the scripture out of Isaiah 42:10, because our God is this way. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the desert and its towns do what? Raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out, how? Like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. He will shout. He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. And see, we're real reductive with God. Sometimes we make God in our image. He's so multifaceted. That's what makes God, God. How can he be a God of mercy and a God of judgment? How can he be tender? Remember Jesus' zeal for my Father's house has consumed me. Remember when they were turning it into a marketplace, the temple of God? How can he do all that? But because he's God. But this is part of who he is. I also love that same verse 13 in the New American Standard. It reads this way, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will what? Rouse his zeal like a what? Like a daisy throwing hippie. No, he will what? He will rouse his zeal like a what? Like a man of war. He will utter what? A shout. Yes, he will raise a what? War cry. He will prevail over his enemies. Now, isn't it interesting the context that the shout, the war cry, all of this is in context of conflict and enemies that want to eat your lunch, things that are coming against you, you see. There's a time for praise, a time for worship. There's a time for petition, asking God for things, a time for supplication, and there's a time for bold declaration. There are times where you don't pray for something, you speak to it. Remember Jesus said, don't pray about the mountain, speak to it and tell it to be moved from here to there. Some things we don't pray, you know, if it be thy will, you know, I can't tell you how many times where the scriptures are clear. If it be thy will, raise them up. If it be thy will. Now, something happens, but on our part, we're going to contend. And we're going to go for what we see and what we know to be true. We don't want to be falsely humble and allow the enemy to gain ground. We're not just going to get in the car. Hello. So I'm saying all that to say, in your inventory of how we walk with God, how we take on spiritual disciplines, I just want to make sure that this is part of it. Everything else is wonderful. Everything else is beautiful. It's all necessary. Just make sure there's also room for this. You can't do it in every setting, but you can find the place when you're with like-minded believers and the atmosphere is calling for it or you're alone. Make sure you find place for the shout of the Lord. There is a time to get loud. And it does something to you. Heaven hears it. Hell hears it. And many times when hell hears it, they release that which is the concern of your heart. It releases it. There's a jolt. In Joshua 6, there was a jolt. There's a tender shepherding side, but there's a militant side to the things of God, and likewise in our Christian experience. So I just put that out there to you in these days. Let's just make sure we're not missing the way because of a wrong application of something in the moment. Just make sure this is part of your tool bag. And again, it may be a little clunky on the front end if not being used to it. But once you step in it a little bit, it's great, and you will feel in the spirit chains breaking and things shifting in the cosmos. Amen? Lives are in the balance. Our own lives, we need it. It's good for us to kind of burn the carbon out. It's just time sometimes to just burn the carbon out. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this record of Scripture. We thank you for these Israelites. I thank you for Joshua, their leader, and the instruction of what was required to go into the land. Lord, it required obedience to the recipe in the moment. And Lord, that recipe in the moment was that they would offer the shout in the timing of the Lord. So Father, I just pray that as holistic Christians, that you're always adding to our arsenal. You're always adding to our understanding. I pray we'd not leave this one unattended to. Lord, if we're contemplative by nature, I pray we would continue on in that way. If we're quiet by nature, thank you for how you've created us and our wiring. But just help us incorporate this and rise up with the Word of God in our mouth, we pray, as we fight an effective warfare. And I just thank you for new faith, new boldness, even an assertive aggressiveness that's by the Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord.